You know, something that I learned a long time ago, sometimes I forget, but I try to be cognizant of it. Because there is such a need, that's an understatement, is the power that we have in our Catholic Church by our spirituality. You know, there's one spirit, but many spiritualities. Oh, it can be as large and magnified as there's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the Benedictine spirituality. That is, that they stay in one place and take a fourth vow of stability, which means they'll stay there for the rest of their lives. There's a spirituality to that. There's a spirituality of the Dominicans, which is preaching the Word of God, a spirituality of the Franciscans, which is supposed to be joy in living the gospel. And, of course, everything else that goes into it. But there is so much for so many in our Catholic Church. It's sad to say that sometimes over the years, since the Second Vatican Council, a lot of that stuff that prior to the Second Vatican Council we cut our teeth on was not passed on to us. And so consequently, things that for my age group is as aware as the next breath that we take, please God, and consequently old school, and who's going to be interested in that, and everybody knows that. Well, with people in the generations that come after, they don't know a lot of the spirituality that the Church possesses in its wealth and its richness, with the various saints that we call upon, how they live the gospel, how they persevered in rough times, whether it was through family difficulties or times when there were plagues in a culture or in a country, or times whenever there was a particular leader who was very challenging to the people as far as virtue goes because of the scandal of how they might have lived or ruled, or the injustices that would go on. Fill in the blanks. There's always this spirituality that we have that is grounding. It anchors us. And of course, through our own reading, I know, and through preaching, much of what I speak of by way of our spirituality is already a moot point. We already know that. But to constantly celebrate it and repeat it, which is part of teaching, parents know that, as well as teachers and employers, that in order to get a point across, to constantly repeat it, otherwise we commit what is often called a teacher's heresy. The teacher's heresy is because I taught it, now you know it. Whenever we all know, parents especially, that the way that my child or my students continue to know it is by my constantly repeating that. As maddening as that can be sometimes, we can be rather thick when it comes to acting out the lessons that we know that are called wisdom as opposed to foolishness that are passed on to us, either in the tribe, the family system, or in the church, or whatever going on in our particular culture. So that the gift of knowledge is just that, it's a gift. And in the knowledge that I have of the higher things, such as talked about in Colossians, about how we are to be virtuous in relationships with each other, treat others the way you'd like to be treated, speak about others the way you'd like to be spoken about, speak to people in a manner that you would like to be spoken to. It's not nuclear science, it's not complicated stuff. It's basic civility, as what we would call it inside of the church, our home. It's charity, loving kindness. What St. Paul had is another name for Jesus Christ in the scriptures, loving kindness. And so on this Feast of the Holy Family, we celebrate those particular facts, that they are models of what our families are supposed to be like, and God knows any of us, maybe even most of us, fall short of it because of complications and conflicts and whatever is going on in the culture, of which we can limit almost limitless in our list of what's afflicting and bothering our harmony, our serenity, and our ability to communicate carefully. That happens in the domestic church. It also happens in the church at large. We have our conflicts. We have a sinful nature. We're not angels. We don't have an angelic spirit. And because of the sinful nature and the fall of our first parents, there's another family there, God poured himself into the human condition in the womb of the Blessed Mother. And he incarnated into human flesh. Jesus gets his flesh from the Mother, the Blessed Mother. He gets his divinity from the espousalhood of the Holy Spirit. And so he is the God-man, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we empty out our sinfulness to be filled up with his divinity, just like Jesus Christ emptied out his divinity to be filled up with our humanity. And there is the rhythm and flow that we have that helps to create and sustain a family. We give and we receive. It isn't always about taking, but unfortunately that can happen often, more taking than receiving. But there's a yes but with the help of the Holy Spirit when we dip into the community script of how we are supposed to live. And since it's inspired, meaning it's inspirited, and so are we because of our baptism, eventually, please God, over the fullness of time, as the scripture says, that knowledge begins to fructify, to bear fruit. It begins to become part of the fabric of not only the individual, but let's say the marriage and the parenting and relationships that we have, that I lean more towards virtue than vice, more towards charity than not. And please God, more hope than the isolation and despair that a lot of people are feeling in these very strange times. One of the spiritualities, at least I'm speaking for yours truly, I can only presume others my age, experienced prior to the Second Vatican Council was a real comfort with the communion of saints. I don't remember that ever being challenged as I was growing up. I wasn't always in kind of a Catholic bubble. But of course, that old dictate comes across, well, why don't I just pray to Christ? Why do I have to go to so-and-so and to so-and-so? You hear that from a lot of people, Catholic or not, whether it comes to praying the rosary and the Blessed Mother, having a devotion to her. People can challenge that, and I just want to have this relationship with Christ. Well, we are a family. And as a family, we have our big brothers and sisters and our ancestors and those who have gone before us in the sign of faith. And we have our pictures of our icons and our statues, like we might have our family pictures in our home. To look at them is to remember the backstory of that person. A lesson that they taught, a service that they provided, a knowledge that they shared, a discipline that we were able to incorporate into our own lives. That's the teaching church. And the church is always teaching because it has the Holy Spirit, which is the teacher. And so we look to the lives of the saints, and knowing the backstory, we see that they have overcome what we are going through, fill in the blank of whatever that is. There's something for everyone when it comes to the Catholic Church and the saints. And one of the things that we were raised with once upon a time that might have been, I can't say forgotten, maybe a little neglected here and there, was a devotion to Saint Joseph when we were growing up. Now, it just so happens, as of December the 8th, this very month, Pope Francis, at the behest of an American priest, Father Donald Calloway, he's a father of mercy, and they are the ones in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, that publish and preach the apostolic devotion, the spirituality of the divine mercy. Father Calloway wrote a book called The 33-Day Consecration to Saint Joseph. It has extent all over the world. It's in many languages as we speak. And the Pope decided to proclaim this is the year of Saint Joseph because Father Calloway lobbied him and let him know what the Fathers of Mercy are experiencing in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, as they are hearing and it's being written to them in all kinds of mediums. What is happening in people's lives who are making that 33-day consecration? There's also a briefer one of a 9-day novena that you would make in preparation for the consecration. But the Fathers of Mercy are saying they've never experienced it anything like this before in what we would call mass conversions in this way. People who have this past year since Father Calloway's book came out that are having marital problems, in making the 33-day novena in preparation for the consecration, the conflicts in their marriages are no longer conflicts. Those who were wondering what they should do with their lives, and perhaps on a back burner were thinking of becoming priests, seminarians, religious brothers or religious women, all of a sudden religious communities are hearing from people across this country in particular that they would like to be a priest, a brother, or they would like to be a religious woman. In other words, vocations all of a sudden among young people are coming into being. They declare to Father Calloway, whenever they write the Father of Mercies, that it's happening because someone in their family, usually the father or the husband, has come across the book, which was usually a gift to them, by usually the wife or the mother or the daughter in the family, gives to them the book in paperback, 33 days consecration, in preparation for the consecration to Saint Joseph. Conflicts begin to be dissolved or resolved. Also, because we were always taught when we were growing up that Saint Joseph is the patron saint of men. He is the patron saint of husbands and fathers. He is the patron saint of engaged couples. He's the patron saint of married couples. He's the patron saint of families. He's the patron saint of virtue in purity of men. And in this day and age, with all that's going on that is challenging that, even at Fatima, Lourdes, and most recently in Akita, Japan in the 1970s, the Blessed Mother has revealed that the devil is extant more than he has ever been since he was bound at the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that families, marriages, and purity in men are being attacked by the devil. It is no secret, if you're paying attention to the Catholic press, that obsession and possession in this country as well as the rest of the world has increased exponentially 300%. The Vatican is calling for priests to take themselves to places like Mundelein Seminary in Chicago, as well as other places in this country that have been deemed taking a course or courses in order to be instructed on how to handle exorcisms because of the increase of what is going on in afflictions by the devil through certain things that we can all name that are attacking us socially, culturally, individually, familiarly, and also when it comes to our thoughts and our feelings, where this power of suggestion of negativity, despair, even suicide is being increased. I had the wedding of a woman yesterday who is a clinical psychologist, a doctor, and she said to me that her practice has increased 300% with calls for therapy. And the purpose of therapy is for clarity and understanding because of suicidal ideation that is going on, particularly among the young. People who are losing their jobs, people whose marriages are crumbling because of whatever is happening with COVID and causing isolation, and especially despair and hopelessness among the elderly. It goes on and on and on. And so because Father Calloway wrote a book prompted by the Holy Spirit, the 33-day novena in preparation for the consecration. What they are hailing is one of Joseph's, Saint Joseph's titles is Terror of Demons. Just to say his name, Father Calloway reminds us, we were taught this as kids, makes the devil run. The holy name of Jesus makes the devil run. The holy name of Mary makes the devil run. The holy name of Joseph makes the devil run. They are special intercessors with God the Father himself in spiritual warfare that has always gone on until the second coming, but seems to be increasing in these very strange days when people feel that they're living under some kind of a cloud or a pall, and the future seems dismal at best. And now a book comes out, and Father Calloway takes it to the Vatican and speaks to Pope Francis and says, would you please, because we are hearing what Saint Joseph is doing in these times, and he's the patron of the church, declare a year of Saint Joseph. And because, thank God, Pope Francis listened to this humble religious priest, a father of mercy, he has declared that as of December the 8th. And so from now until next Advent, when we begin another new year, what we are supposed to be concentrating on is a special devotion of heartfeltness to Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph has a particular role with many hats. Whenever you go into the Catholic Church, you should see a statue of Saint Joseph. And what you should see beside the statue of Saint Joseph is the papal flag, because Saint Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church, and the papal flag has the insignia of the keys and the tiara of the Holy Father. Those are the colors of Vatican City and the Catholic Church. So you should see, because the backstory of Saint Joseph is that he's the patron saint of the Universal Church, you should see by the statue of the Blessed Mother, the American flag, because the backstory is that she's been proclaimed a century ago the patron saint of the Catholic Church under the title of the Immaculate Conception. You should see an American flag beside the statue of the Blessed Mother. But it isn't just a seeing and knowing that. It's in that moment then that our spirituality breaks through, that we as the body of Christ, the Church, have an intercessory power, as Christ is the head and we are the members, to pray to Saint Joseph to protect and influence the Roman Catholic Church, to pray to the Blessed Mother to protect and influence the United States of America and its leaders and all of its citizens. We are not a church that's just about what I want when I want it. We are the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space, which means that I not only pray for my own salvation, I pray for the salvation of the many, as the scriptures put it, which is why it is important that we go to Mass regularly, because the conversion of hardened hearts and darkened minds depends on our intercessory presence of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We were baptized to be with the priest. The priesthood of the Christi Fidelis Laici, the lay Catholic faithful, you were anointed to be a lay priest, to be a prophet, and to be a king. You are acting out your baptismal promises when you're at Mass. You're joining the holy ordered priest, and we are praying for the whole world. Especially when we find out, when Our Lady appeared at Akita, Japan, to a sister Agnes, as well as to Fatima, and most recently Medjugorje, where the first six apparitions in Medjugorje, the former Yugoslavia, the Blessed Mother's been appearing there for over 30 years, the devil has been let loose. And the reason he has been let loose is because the greatest number of people who have no faith or practice no faith has never been as strong or numerous as it has been since the early church. If you know anything about the recent demographics that have come out and the people who register as Catholic or Protestant or Muslim or Jewish or whatever, The NONES have the highest number of anybody that have registered as belonging to some kind of religious formation or affiliation. This opens up the doors to the devil. And you have to know that he exists. How could anybody deny that whenever the manifestation of the devil is the opposite of everything that was mentioned in Colossians? He is the destroyer. He does not want happiness in marriage or families. He wants conflict. He thrives on jealousy, hopelessness, rage, anger, fear he enjoys. And yet he has no real power because Jesus Christ, the all-powerful one, broke his backbone. But we who can stay away from the scriptures and stay away from the holy sacrifice of the Mass and run low on sacramental grace, and God knows what this COVID is going to do in telling people somehow that they don't have to be at Mass and offer for the sake of conversion in the world, that they can stay in their homes or just watch it on TV. There is a real fear throughout the world on behalf of the magisterium that people will not return to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And when that happens once more, the reality of the devil becomes even more palpable in how he destroys and loves conflict, wants misery. You know, Saint Joseph is one of those people that in the fullness of time, because he was so faithful, has been able to manifest in heaven, particularly for men, the quality of faithfulness, daily faithfulness, because that's one of the hats or the roles that he wears. As I said, he's the patron saint of husbands and fathers. He's the patron saint of purity as a virtue, which actually means faithfulness according to your stage in life, to the virtue of purity, to the devotion to one's bride. And of course, with pornography and everything else that's going on, he is the patron saint of being delivered from that. He's the patron saint of realtors knocking on doors looking for a room in the inn. He's also the patron saint of a holy death, meaning you've received the last rites, because our tradition tells us that the teenage Jesus and the Blessed Mother was with him when he was falling asleep in the Lord. And again, he's the patron saint of workers. And if you are looking for a job, you are supposed to pray to Saint Joseph. And I've said here so many times, Joseph is someone, the only saint, that you tell him what you want. You don't ask him. That comes from the 5th century especially, when the church was coming with the help of the Holy Spirit to the realization of the power of Joseph in the Holy Family and influencing the family of Jesus Christ in the church. You just heard the gospel from Saint Matthew, where twice he was told, he wasn't asked by an angel when he was asleep, what to do. Marry this woman, though she is with child, it is by God. He did that. Take the child and his mother and flee to Nazareth, to Egypt, away from Bethlehem, because King Herod was killing the newborn Hebrew boys. He did that. It wasn't an invitation. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Do it. And so whenever we pray to Saint Joseph, and this has been since time immemorial, he's the one saint that you tell. And the formula that you use, you tell him what you want, especially when it comes to a job, employment, in the name of Christ. Every prayer of the Mass ends with, in the name of Christ or through Christ. You tell Saint Joseph, in the name of Christ, what you want him to do for you. He requires two conditions. Number one, conviction from your heart to his heart. Number two, he likes to be pestered. It shows tenacity. It shows that you really mean this. The 9-day novena, minimal, you would download any kind of novena to Saint Joseph, and where it says petition, you never petition Joseph. You mission him. You tell him in the name of Christ what you want him to do for you. But the 33-day of Father Donald, novena, special consecration, according to the Fathers of Mercy, because they're getting the feedback from all over the world of the effects of this book, it's brought about great conversion and change and harmony. One of the reasons, he is called the terror of demons. And so whenever we think about what we would like in our families, as much as we would like to feature them as the Norman Rockwell family gathered around the Thanksgiving turkey, and everybody looks as happy as they can be and pleased, and everything is wonderful. Please God that that's the case, but not always. And there's more conflict than ever inside of families because of all that's going on in the culture. But there's a yes, but Catholic people, we have a devotion to the saints, particularly to Saint Joseph. What is suggested to end this is you do something like this. Get a statue of Saint Joseph, gentlemen, and have it in your home. It can be a little plastic fella. It doesn't have to be ostentatious or gold-leafed or whatever. It's simple. He was a simple man. Have it someplace in your home, maybe your bedroom, maybe on the top of a dresser. You would open up a little part of the scriptures, perhaps, and have it there. And maybe you would take a picture of you and your bride, or you and your family, or someone among your children who might not be practicing the faith or wondering about life and what do they believe. Maybe a whole picture, maybe the whole clan. And you would enthrone that statue on top of Saint Joseph. And you would say, gentlemen especially, because he is your patron saint of a husband and a father and a grandfather and godfather and a man, Saint Joseph, in the name of Christ, I enthrone you over this community, over this family. Take care of them. Bring us to heaven and help us in life. And you put that down on that picture. If you have a holy card, clip it to the picture. And get a holy card of Saint Joseph and put it in a magnet on your refrigerator. Put it in the visor of your car. Put it in your wallet. Put it on your shaving mirror. And every time you see that picture, you tell Saint Joseph, you tell him in the name of Christ what you want him to do for you. May I suggest that we do that for a year in the domestic church, which is what the family is called. You are the domestic church. You fill up on grace here in the universal church, the parish church, and you take that grace back into your own family, domestic church. You also take it to your workplace of the family, and you pray for your extended family. Pray for your families whose souls may be in purgatory. Pray for, you hope, the progeny that your own children or grandchildren may bring into the world someday. You can pray for the past. You can also pray for those who are coming after you. But pray. Give them to Saint Joseph. He is most powerful with God. And this is a year when Pope Francis has asked us to turn to Saint Francis and give what is going on in our life, especially in these strange and destructive times. We call upon heaven to open itself up. Because Saint Joseph said to Saint Faustina, he appeared to her in the 1930s, that he asked that families always turn to him in their needs, to have a constant devotion to him. He said, in having a constant devotion to Saint Joseph, he will have a constant devotion with you in his mind and heart to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So there's our spirituality, one of many. Very, very rich Saint Joseph is. Continue to develop your devotion to Saint Joseph. If you don't have one, read about him. Get Father Calloway's book. It's a pearl of great price for us, and it's our stuff. It's the Catholic faith. Give it to those that you know that no longer practice the faith. Give it to people who you think would be interested in the faith, but give it. And give it in love, and give them to Saint Joseph, and say, in the name of Christ, touch people with this. Help me to be an intercessor with them, because Saint Joseph wants us to be with him and the Blessed Mother in Christ in heaven. Ah, and there truly is the spirituality of the Holy Family.